Welcome to Fronteras, a program about issues along the U.S.-Mexico border and changing demographics in the Southwest. I'm Norma Martinez with Texas Public Radio in San Antonio. The holidays have us thinking about gifts, what to get for your family, your friends, your coworkers. A San Antonio educator wants us to reflect on another kind of gift, the one we have within ourselves. Joanna Hernandez is an early childhood advocate. She's also the author of I Am a Gift and Have Many Gifts. The book is for young children and encourages them to discover to use the gifts with which they're endowed. Hernandez says her students inspired her to create the story.
As an educator, you share these little stories, but also you want to inspire kids. And then connecting it with my own personal life and through my journey and still continuation of this journey called life, during yoga I was making this story and something just kept pushing me. Like, I don't know, like there's a little voice that says, why don't you turn this into a book? So I just kept rereading it and rereading it. And at first it started off like teaching as an after-school program. And then I did it at my son's after school. Like, you know, I asked the YMCA director, can I read the kids a story? And it didn't have any pictures. It just was a one page and they were going to have to use their imagination. And when I read that to the kids, they were like in awe. And one of the kids goes, so I like to help animals. That's a gift too. And they started like really questioning. Then I was like, you know what? I should move forward. And a lady went up to me and she goes, are you going to turn this into a book? If you are, when is it coming out? And it was like, you know what? That was like a sign, like I got to sit down and what is the process of making a children's book?
So what age children do you normally work with?
Well, I've worked with all ages, but right now at the moment, I'm working from K to second.
And so this is an age where kids are kind of at their most wondrous. They approach everything with just a great sense of openness and wonder. And I'm curious as to what was it that you found lacking, perhaps, in some of the books that you were using to teach?
There's a lot of great books. And I guess it was just seeing something more special in themselves. Like, there's a lot of books like, yes, I like me, I love me, but to know that they are a gift, like since the beginning of time, they are a gift. Their talent is a gift. And then their own uniqueness is a gift. Yesterday, I was rereading again this book to the children at the school, and a little girl, she says, you know, Miss Joanna, I said that to myself, I am a gift, and I felt so happy because I am a gift. Because many times we think like, oh, they know. But when I share this, they're like shocked, like I'm a gift. Because there's times like I did share with children, like you are the future. And a lot of them say, I am. And that's where it hit me. Like the kids, they don't know. Like I was like, oh, my goodness. They need to know how special they and awesome they are, like how important they are. Like they are the future. Like, oh, my goodness. And I felt like I need to get to work. I must share this message, how important they are.
You make yourself sort of the central character, the character that wants to boost self-esteem, because along with that sense of wonderment that many young children have, a lot of them can be very shy, or they might come from homes where they don't necessarily have that, you know, that uplifting parent who will give him that nudge or a little bit of support. I'm curious if when you were a child, if you struggled with the type of perhaps self-esteem issues you're trying to boost in this book.
Yes, that's what it was. I did have a lot of like self-esteem, you know, self-image. But as a child, I was also very, what people say stubborn, I call persistence. I was very persistent, even though like someone probably would have like said like, oh, that idea sounds dumb, Joanna. That hurt my feelings. But then I was like, you know what? I want to do it anyway. So I was that kind of kid. Like I was very persevering, very persistent of what I wanted to do. And I want kids to see that. I drew myself like, of course, how I look with glasses and curly hair, just like all over the place. Be who you are, even the way you look like. Just be you. Awaken their inner self just to like make it stronger. Like this is like inner strength, inner enlightenment, inner persistence, and to for them to hold on. I believe that it is very important to encourage children, because that image that they're carrying, it does affect them, like, later on. They hold on to that.
And I love the illustrations in this book. Tell us a little bit about the illustrator and how you are able sort of to collaborate with her. Because, like you said, your character here, she's a little girl with glasses and beautiful dark skin and black curly hair. And then you scroll through the book and there are children of all colors and all temperaments in this book. So how did you collaborate with your illustrator?
With Amber, it was interesting because some of the sketches, I have drawn some of them already. I was like, I'm going to need help to write this book. Like, I'm going to need help with illustration. So I had to humble myself. When I came across with Amber and I saw her drawings, I sent her some of the sketches and I was telling her, like, okay, this is how I want her to be. And I want other children to be there, but I want them all multicultural. Like, I want all different colors. And I want the little girl's hair to be more curly, like the way it is, and dark, because I'm dark. Multicultural is very important. Kids, they say, oh, I'm that little girl.
So, Joanna, I'm curious. I think everybody wants to know. You're asking children in this book to discover their gifts. What's your gift?
My gift?
Your gift.
My gift? I have a lot of gifts. That's what I was like. I love to talk. And I love to listen. I like to listen a lot to a lot of things and read a lot of things. It really shifted my paradigm. Like, when I started studying early childhood and, like, shifted me as a person, as a parent, it shifted my whole mindset.
How old is your child?
My son, he's 13, going to be 14. When I became a parent, I did a whole 180. Because before this, I was a mortician.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And then when my son was born, I was like, I feel like I need to go back to school. And so I went in early childhood. First, I got child development associates, and then learning about the neurons and synapses, and then observing early childhood. That just intrigued me. And I went, now I'm like an advocate for early childhood, of just sharing about the importance of play, about the mind. It just took me from there. But I have no regrets. Like, I just see myself just continue inspiring and planting seeds in their mind, because that's what I share with children. Their mind is like a garden and their thoughts are like seeds. And what seeds do they want to plant in their garden? And what weeds do they need to weed out? Hmm. And not all weeds are bad weeds, you know, but what certain things are just getting in the way with their garden, just weed them out. It takes work, you know, as every garden does.
Well, Joanna, it's been a pleasure talking to you and learning a little bit more about you and all your many gifts. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you so much for your time and energy.
Joanna Hernandez is an educator, an early childhood advocate, and the author of I Am a Gift and I Have Many Gifts. It's illustrated by Amber Lee Lewick. See video of Hernandez reading her book at tpr.org. When we come back, a San Antonio Arts and Cultural Center finds a way to present a Christmas tradition in a pandemic.
And it offered such a beautiful setting. It's outdoors, it's safe, of course we all wear our masks. But it just gave us this amazing backdrop for La Pastorela.
And it's virtual. More on the Guadalupe Cultural Arts Center's production of La Pastorela, next on Fronteras. Welcome back to Fronteras. I'm Norma Martinez with Texas Public Radio in San Antonio. This is normally the time when communities in Mexico and the American Southwest mark Christmastime traditions. Perhaps you add to your family's ever-growing nacimiento with giant baby Jesuses and figurines of all shapes and sizes. Or perhaps you gather in warm homes for a tamalada with your comadres. Or maybe you bundle up to go to a posada or watch the Pastorela play, both which recreate the biblical Christmas story. these are traditions that are sidelined this year because of the pandemic. A San Antonio organization dedicated to keeping traditions alive found a way to present their annual pastorela this year and make it available to all. Belinda Menchaca is the education director at the Guadalupe Cultural Arts Center. She explains the tradition of the pastorela.
The pastorela is the traditional shepherd's play where it's a story of good versus evil. And so Lucifer, the devil, his role is to create all these temptations to misguide the shepherds into not following the newborn king. And so the angel, of course, is there to remind the shepherds what we're on our journey to find the newborn king and to celebrate harmony and love and peace. So it's this battle between good and evil. And of course, good always wins over evil.
So this is kind of the traditional Christmas story that most of us grew up with. How is this taken a traditional twist to make it unique to Mexico and to the Southwest?
So what we've done as an academy, our Guadalupe Cultural Arts Center has a dance and music academy. And so we've taken this traditional Christmas story and we've incorporated traditional dances of Mexico into the pastorela. So while we, you know, continue to keep the story and the traditional Christmas theme, we've incorporated folklorico dance into the whole scheme. And so this is how we keep the story alive among our children and our students and our community. So while we're presenting the dances that they've been working on all semester long with their instructors online, mind you, we're incorporating this beautiful Christmas story that brings the story to life on stage with folklorico dance. And so it's become a beautiful tradition for us because we use this Christmas story every December so that our children enjoy not just a performance of, you know, dances back to back, but with this storyline and characters and comedy and then a beautiful finale.
So this is traditionally presented as a play, correct? And the Guadalupe Cultural Arts Center has taken its own unique spin on it.
Exactly. So we've taken the play and we've incorporated dance into the theme. And so, Norma, as you know, right now in the middle of a pandemic, we are not able to rehearse with our dance academy or our music academy in person. So we have basically done everything online, everything moved online, all of our classes, all of our students are meeting on Zoom. So we teach them through Zoom. Who would have known that we would have, that this world would have been totally online? Thank you for technology. But in order to produce La Pastorela this year, we had to meet in person. We are not able to use the stage of the Guadalupe Theater for the same reasons. We're not able to have, you know, anything indoors or any kind of audience. So we feel so fortunate that we had access to the Plaza Guadalupe, the Plaza Avenida Guadalupe, which is right behind our theater. And it offered such a beautiful setting. It's outdoors. It's safe. Of course, we all wear our masks. But it just gave us this amazing backdrop for La Pastorela. So we're able to continue the tradition of performing La Pastorela, but we had to film it over several days. So, you know, a few segments at a time, but it, with different backdrops, with this amazing setting. And now it's being edited to then stream on our YouTube channel, the Guadalupe Cultural Arts Center YouTube channel, on December 23rd at 7 p.m.
We understand that this would normally be, the Pastorela would normally be a fundraising event for the Guadalupe Dance Academy, yet you're providing the stream for free. Can you explain why?
Yes. So our challenge, of course, is to continue to raise money to be able to continue our programs. And we are offering it for free so that it's accessible to everyone. But we are asking for donations. And of course, we ask for donations all year round. But when we do stream this before and throughout the rest of the year, we are asking people to please donate anything to our cause, you know, to help us continue our programming.
Well, can you explain a little bit about maybe some of the other Mexican traditions that we almost take for granted here when it comes to the holidays? Because not only do you have the Pastorela, but you also have the more popular posadas, which many people might be confusing the Pastorela with. The posadas are sort of the recreation of Joseph and Mary going door to door, looking for room at the inn. That's another tradition that cannot be held, unfortunately, because of the pandemic. So many traditions that have been put on hold or have been rethought. What are some traditions that can easily, I think, maybe be retrofitted to this new reality that we're temporarily dealing with?
Well, I know that, you know, when you celebrate La Posada, it obviously entails going from door to door, like you say, representing, you know, when Mary and Joseph were looking for a place to stay. But people can still celebrate in an outdoor, you know, sort of setting. You know, the difficult thing is wanting to continue our celebrations when everything is, you know, such a high risk. But I also know that a lot of events or celebrations are happening online so that you can still learn about the tradition by following cultural arts centers, by, you know, going online, because there are a lot of different traditions that you can learn. And it's accessible now to people from all over. You don't have to just be living in San Antonio to appreciate the work that the Guadalupe does. You can now appreciate from the comfort of your own home and from anywhere in the country, anywhere in the world, actually. And of course, just learning the different music and the different foods. You know, the Guadalupe has always preserved our traditions, like making tamales. We're very much a part of the Tamal Institute that happens in San Antonio. So that's something that we started many, many years ago, was a tamalada on the stage of the Guadalupe that we can't do this year. But just the learning the traditions and preserving the traditions are things that you can now do online.
Well, hopefully people can take out those tamales that they had frozen after Thanksgiving, take them out and defrost them for December 23rd, have themselves maybe a hot steaming cup of Mexican hot chocolate and enjoy the performance of La Pastorela.
Yes, I actually have a cousin in California she has a tamalada every year, and she made certain that everybody, her cousins and her tías, got on Zoom. She made certain that everybody had the corn husk, the masa, the meat, and they had a virtual tamalada with everybody in their own home, con chocolate, but on Zoom. So I just thought that was so beautiful.
It can be done.
It can be done, yes.
Well, Belinda Menchaca, Education Director for the Guadalupe Cultural Arts Center here in San Antonio, thank you so much for taking the time out to talk with us today.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for the opportunity. And we hope that everybody will enjoy, you know, the work that we do at the Guadalupe Cultural Arts Center, something that we are very, very proud of our community and very proud of the families that are a part of the Guadalupe that help us continue our work and that help us continue to keep, you know, nuestra cultura alive.
Belinda Menchaca is the education director at San Antonio's Guadalupe Cultural Arts Center. La Pastorela Folklórica will be presented Wednesday, December 23rd at 7 p.m. Central on the Guadalupe's YouTube channel. Find a link to it and a video preview of the production at tpr.org. Thanks for joining us this week on Fronteras. You can find the show online at tpr.org and wherever you get your podcasts. Fronteras is produced by Norma Martinez and Lauren Terrazas. Our executive producer is Dan Katz. Our digital content producer is Bree Kirkham. And our editor is Fernando Ortiz Jr. Charanga Cakewalk composed our theme music. I'm Norma Martinez with Texas Public Radio in San Antonio.